I learned that I would be giving Father Paul's funeral mass homily at the same time that many others did. A few years ago, on the feast of St. Joseph, Father Paul concelebrated the mass. I was very verbose that day in my homily and talked for over 30 minutes about the glories of St. Joseph. And I walked back from the ambo, turned on my microphone to prepare to lead the people in the creed, and Father Paul leaned over and said, "You better not preach that long, it's my funeral." And that's when I learned I'd be preaching today, and everybody else too. I will try to honor his wish, but when it comes to long homilies, he really wasn't one to talk. I want to just begin by welcoming everyone to this beautiful church. It was a very important place to Father Paul. He ministered here for 29 years, 17 as pastor, and the last several is what I like to call my senior associate, which was a title I myself gave him, which he neither confirmed or accepted, but really just tolerated. He was 68 when he came here. He planned to retire at 70, but he couldn't stop. So he kept going. He loved this parish because of the people and because of his roots here. His great-grandparents bought a farm down the road in 1854, exactly 100 years before he was ordained a priest. Father Paul was proud of the fact that his great-uncle, Father Francis Rudolph, built this new church in 1880. Though the KKK burned it down in 1924, the church we're in today was rebuilt on the same foundation that Father Paul's great uncle helped to dig. Roots were very important to Father Paul. When a priest dies, it is the custom for the dean of the deanery to assist in vesting the deceased priest in preparation for the funeral. In Father Paul's case, that solemn honor fell to me. I had done this a few times before, but never with a priest I was as close to as Father Paul. You have to understand, I talk to Father Paul almost every single day these last many years. He was my confessor, my mentor, my example, my sounding board, my spiritual father, my dear friend. When I walked into that funeral home to help vest Father Paul, I was moved in my soul, and I hope you don't mind indulging me a little bit as to why, as I explain. For one thing, Father Paul was wearing his scapular, and he had his rosary in his pocket when he died. Both were very well worn. He loved Mary. Jesus on the cross gave us Mary when he said, "Behold your mother." Father Paul received that great gift of Our Lady. He had this crucifix right up here put in, installed during his time as the pastor. And he loved to say that Mary stands under it with him at every Mass that he said here. Father Paul loved Our Lady and placed himself under her mantle every day with a prayer that he himself wrote. It is no surprise God called him home in her month, the month of May. His favorite title of Mary was Our Lady of Fatima. He spoke often of how his favorite of the three children, Saint Jacinta, converted 50,000 souls by her devotion, her suffering, and her closeness with Mary. And he wanted to convert just as many by his devotion, his suffering, his closeness with Mary. And I'm pretty sure he did. He had taken pilgrimages to Fatima, Medjugorje, Lourdes, and he loved Guadalupe, most because she is the only pregnant Madonna. Father Paul was joyfully and passionately pro-life. One time he was arrested outside of an abortion facility for accidentally stepping foot over some line or other while he was there peacefully praying. He loved life, and he loved Our Lady. When he fell last Sunday, the fell that broke his hip, he had just been in his garden picking roses. And he had a vase in this hand and a vase in this hand. And then he tripped on his way to placing those roses in front of his Mary statue in his chapel. It's as though Mary at that moment came for him and gently said, "Come, it's almost time for you to have your rest." In the funeral home, I was also moved by his shoes. He had the simplest Father Paul kind of shoes you could ever imagine. He had only maybe the one pair. Isaiah 52 said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Even in his retirement, Father Paul's feet took him to lots of places with that message of salvation on his lips and in his heart. Looking at Father Paul's shoes made me to think of the shoes of St. John Vianney, which are on display in Ars, France, in his rectory. Vianney, the patron saint of priests, was Father Paul's favorite saint. It was providence. God called Father Paul home just a few days before the 100th anniversary of Vianney's canonization. Like Vianney, Father Paul's feet took him wherever God called him to go: hospital rooms, jails, nursing homes, schools, confessionals. He went everywhere. When it was his 70th anniversary of priesthood, we had arranged here a big mass and party for him. We had secured the date with him months in advance and invited everybody. But then, less than 2 weeks before, he called me and he said, "I can't do that date after all. I forgot that I said that I would give a vocations talk that night at Holy Rosary." I said, "I'm sure Father McCarthy wouldn't mind if you had to cancel." But he was a little stubborn. We knew that. So we rearranged the whole thing. Being a priest was not what Father Paul did. It was who he was and who he is now, a priest forever. He loved the line from Vianney, and he quoted it often: "The priest will not understand the greatness of his office till he is in heaven. If he understood it on earth, he would die, not of fear, but of love." Father Paul's feet in those humble shoes took him all over the place. He stood at so many altars and ambos, and God alone knows how many souls he directed, healed, fed, and saved. Per his wish, Father Paul is buried in a simple red chasuble. Red was his favorite color. Red for the martyrs who died for Christ. Red for the blood of Christ. Most of all, though, red for Pentecost. Father Paul had a deep devotion to the Holy Spirit, which is why he installed that image right over there of the Holy Spirit. It is no accident he died in these days just before Pentecost. Jesus Christ at Pentecost breathed on the apostles and gave them the Holy Spirit. And he did the same thing when Archbishop Schulte laid his hands on Father Paul in his ordination day, May 3rd, 1954. Father Paul loved the Holy Spirit and allowed him to live powerfully in and through him, especially while preaching. He preached fire. He hoped in God's word. He preached his word with a generous heart. I love to hear and watch him, priest. Through the Holy Spirit, the power of God took possession of his heart and his soul. It filled him, and he saw his job as simply spilling it out to the rest of us. One time, he preached a powerful, powerful, fiery homily all about the beauty of receiving Holy Communion. Then, at communion time, he couldn't find the tabernacle key, so nobody got communion that day. But he was filled. It only made them appreciate it more. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in our gospel today, I made known to them your name and I will make it known. Father Paul lived by that. Father Paul is also buried with his special divine mercy stole. He was deeply devoted to divine mercy, which is also why he had this image over here installed. Father Paul recited the chaplet at 3 p.m. every day. His phone buzzed to remind him. He loved Faustina's diary. He loved hearing confessions, and he did so as often as he could. And in mercy, he gave everything he had away. He loved mercy. He made me promise that I wouldn't let him die without the apostolic pardon, and he got it. His favorite aspect of divine mercy was radical trust in Jesus. One of his favorite stories that he never tired to tell was about a man who approached Mother Teresa and said, I want to give you $10,000 each year to support your ministry. Mother Teresa turned him down. She wanted to trust in God completely and not rely on a $10,000 cushion. That is how Father Paul lived. And in his humility, he often wondered if he had made any difference, made any real impact on anyone over his years. And then he told me one day he was looking at the text on the divine mercy image, Jesus, I trust in you, and realized at that moment he simply had to trust that God would do whatever he wanted to do through him. And then he had peace. Father Paul loved divine mercy. It's no accident he died on the 25th anniversary of the feast. But maybe in that funeral home, what moved me most was his hands. Hands that baptized thousands of babies and anointed thousands of souls as they died. Hands that absolved millions of sins in confession, and hands that confected millions of hosts, by my guess, 2.5 million. Father Paul was in love with the Eucharist. A month ago, he asked us all to pray that he would be able to breathe more easily. But then he said, no, don't pray for that. Pray that I will be able to celebrate Mass every day until I die. God answered his prayer. Father Paul prayed his daily holy hour. He offered his daily Mass as if his life depended on it, which of course it did. He became a man who had lost his taste for anything and everything but heaven and the things of heaven, especially the Eucharist. And this was such an important witness to me. I am who I am because he was who he was. His hunger, his longing, as Job said, for the things of heaven was contagious. And we all caught it. About 2 months ago, Father Paul told me and several others, I just can't explain it, but the Eucharist is tasting so good to me lately. He said, I've always enjoyed it, but it's so much sweeter now. It fills my taste buds like never before. God was preparing him for the eternal feast. May the body of Christ keep me safe for eternal life. We priests pray every single Mass. Father Paul prayed every single day his Mass. His hands held daily and shared daily Jesus with great love, great devotion. I couldn't help myself in the hospital room. I rolled back the sheet and I kissed his hands in gratitude to God for his priesthood, just as hundreds of people did on his ordination day, because those hands gave us Jesus. I have to tell you one more thing. His eyes. Psalm 119 says, "My eyes yearn to see your promise." Father Paul's eyes had been closed in the hospital for hours until they began to blink just minutes before he went home to God. There was no fear in them, only love. The Gospels often recount, as ours did today, Jesus looking up to heaven, did this or that. Seek the things that are above, says Colossians 3, and Philippians says our true citizenship is in heaven. Father Paul preached heaven at every Mass. It was his favorite thing to talk about together with the Eucharist. Heaven. Heaven, our true homeland. A month ago, when he had a really bad fall, he was in the ER, I asked him why he kept falling. And he said, "I'm trying to get to heaven." And I'll always remember his homily on his 96th birthday, which he spoke into this very microphone. He said, "People ask me how I have lived to be this old. It might be my genes. And I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't surround myself with loose women." He said it. But then he said this, "I can't tell you how to live on earth 96 years, but I can tell you something better. How to live eternally. And you know what that is," he said? "Fidelity. Obedience to Jesus Christ. Even to the end, he would kneel in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in our Adoration Chapel. He and I would pray each Friday night in the chapel together. And as he left the chapel the Friday before he died, he said, 'I can't wait for when I never have to leave his presence.'" He wanted heaven. He preached heaven. He said constantly, "Think about eternity." He died on the feast day of the great Philip Neri, whose mantra was the same as Father Paul's: "I prefer heaven." I hope you don't think that I'm attempting to canonize Father Paul right now, but I might do it one day. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you of a man whose heart I came to know and love. A pious, simple, holy, charismatic, generous, heaven-focused, Eucharist-focused priest. A modern-day Vianney in our own backyard. A priest whose entire life was and is now in an even greater way and forever will be caught up in Jesus Christ. He who is the bread of life. He who is the Son of God and the Son of Mary. He who is the way, the truth, and the life. He who is our Eucharistic Lord, our great High Priest. He who is the resurrection and the life. And I will end just with this. These gospel words from today, chosen by Father Paul. These words are spoken by Jesus, of course, but recalling that Father Paul is configured by his priestly ordination to Jesus Christ for eternity and who is therefore now exercising his priesthood in heaven, I want us to think of Father Paul praying these words to the Father right now for us. "Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them."